Welcome to Devotionary and our study of the book of Hebrews, called Better by Far. We'll be covering Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 18 today, in a lesson I've entitled, Solidarity, Suffering, Salvation. According to the author of Hebrews, we have these three things in common with Christ. We are one with Him because of His death on the cross, and as a result, we share in His sufferings. But we also share in His salvation, having been freed from slavery to sin because of His payment of our debt with His own life. Be sure to familiarize yourself with today's passage by reading through it. But now, let's see what it means to be made perfect in suffering. God made His Son a man. Through the miracle of conception and the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary gave birth to a baby boy whom she would name Jesus. But he was not just any boy. He was the incarnate Son of God, the second person of the Trinity in human flesh, which is why the writer of Hebrews describes him as He who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus. Hebrews 29, verse 7. He became our brother in the flesh. He became like us so that He could live among us and share our earthly experience as human beings living in a fallen world. And just a few chapters later in this same letter, we read that Jesus understands our weaknesses, for He faced all of the same testings we do, yet He did not sin. Hebrews 4, verse 15. He didn't live some kind of charmed country club lifestyle because He was the Son of God. In fact, it was His deity that got Him into trouble. It was His claim to divinity that brought about the greatest degree of suffering. And suffer He did. In fact, the author of Hebrews says that God made Jesus, the founder of our salvation, perfect through suffering. Hebrews 2, verse 10. Before Jesus could be perfected or glorified by His Father, He had to take the path of suffering. He experienced glorification through persecution and pain. And it's interesting to realize that Satan, when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, attempted to get Jesus to bypass the suffering and go straight to glorification. We read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. But God's path for Jesus took him through humiliation, rejection, pain, suffering, and death. It was only after he had walked that path in faith and obedience that God raised him up and glorified him. He became flesh and blood just like us. He became one of us, all so that he could save us, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 15. Not only did Jesus become one of us, He invites us to become one with Him. He extends an invitation to each and every man and woman to accept Him as their personal Savior, their Redeemer. His suffering and death provided a way for men to be made right with God. Our sin separates us from God, and we are incapable of bridging the gap because even our best works on our best day are still marred by sin. We can't earn a right standing before God, but when we place our faith in the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf, we become one with Him. We are made His brothers and sisters, His fellow heirs, and sons and daughters of God. But the path to our glorification, like His, includes suffering. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we become aliens and strangers in this world. We remain in it, but are no longer to be part of it. That doesn't mean we isolate ourselves from it, but that we live in it according to a different set of standards, and as if it is no longer our home. Jesus told His disciples, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." John 16, verse 33. The Apostle Paul understood that suffering and solidarity with Christ went hand in hand. He wrote in 2 Corinthians, "In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4. But there is a purpose behind our suffering. Paul reminds us, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Our suffering on this earth is not pointless. It has a God-ordained purpose behind it. God is perfecting us and producing in us the very character of His Son. Suffering should not produce in us a spirit of resentment, but should make us more dependent. Our weakness should remind us of our need for God's strength and assistance. Our pain should cause us to desire God's comfort and healing. Our loneliness should drive us to God for His companionship. We have a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Jesus Christ, our brother. He has made propitiation for our sins, having satisfied the just demands of a holy God. But He is also making intercession for us, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and reminding Him that our sins are paid in full and our future glorification is guaranteed.